It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation about some of these important things that are going on in our country today. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And podcasts of the show can be found there. We're starting these new podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Typically, they're running about 30 minutes, so a little more in-depth conversation with each of these different guests, and I think that you'd really appreciate that. Today, big show planned for you, and we'll go through just some different things going on out there. Then Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors will join us. They just got a big award, so we'll want to talk a little bit about that and what's happening over with the Small Business Administration for our businesses. Dr. Jill Vecchio will be talking again about COVID-19 and some different issues around that. She'll be in the second segment. And then third and fourth segment, I'll be talking with Adam Andrzejewski. He's the CEO and founder of Open the Books. It's one of the largest organizations that watches government spending. And so we'll talk about the U.S. funding of the WHO, the World Health Organization. So really great show planned for you today. Be sure and check out the website. We are doing these little three-minute snippets as well, little podcasts, Headlines for Hope. And I've been going through the story of Jody Lander. He was a Texas boy, and he jumped into Normandy on D-Day, June 6, 1944, a paratrooper. He jumped in behind enemy lines. And then he also jumped in at Operation Market Garden, which was in Holland. And then he was at Battle of the Bulge. And yesterday we told a story of Harry, a German Jew that ended up coming to America and became a paratrooper. And producer Steve, a great story. Did you learn anything from that particular little three-minute snippet?
Absolutely. I mean, this guy, born and raised in Germany, and then his parents managed to get him to the States, where at the right time he ends up becoming part of our armed forces and goes right back to his homeland. And I was thinking, when in the part where he's actually interrogating German soldiers who have been captured, and they're looking at him, it's like, who is this guy?
Who is this guy? That's for sure. So great story. We'll continue with that. And actually, I'm going to talk with Jody Lander later today and do another recording, so that many of the stories will be in his voice. So excited about that. As we look at these issues, Steve, Rudyard Kipling, it's put your thinking cap on, folks. Put your thinking cap on. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. So instead of just following blindly, we need to be asking questions. And Steve, as you know, last week, I was pretty whipped up about it. I've now gotten a little bit of the emotion out of it, although I'm so frustrated. You know, on one hand, people say, Kim, you're very kind. And on the other hand, they say you're really tough. And I care deeply about my fellow human beings, Steve. But what I get really frustrated about is when we have those that are trying to take advantage of others, where they're trying to take their freedom. And last night I had something you know what, let's go through our other things and then I'll tell you about that. As we look at these issues, it's freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or right now it's freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And I mentioned the quote yesterday that one of my colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters shared with us on Saturday. And he said, fear knocked at the door and truth answered, and then there was no one there. So once fear is faced with the truth, and that is what each of us has a responsibility to search for, truth and clarity, not your truth or my truth, real truth. And when you confront fear with real truth, then there's nothing there. Very important to understand that. have this great team I get to work with, and that's you, Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, I value you immensely. Be sure to do something industrious and productive today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You're each treasured and valued. And we are Americans. We need to fight for our freedom right now. It's a little different battle right now, but it's in this battle of ideas. And so that is why we need to understand what is going on out there. So our inspiration for today, everything has, well, it has a little bit of humor to it. Well, it's Will Rogers. And he was an American stage and film actor, a vaudeville performer, a cowboy, a humorist, a newspaper columnist, and social commentator from Oklahoma. He was a Cherokee citizen born in the Cherokee Nation, Indian Territory. He was born in 1879, and he died in 1935 at the age of 55. You know, and Steve, as I look at many of these ages, you know, these guys, many of them died at what today would be considered a very young age. So I was surprised he was only 55. Did you think he was older?
Well, to tell you the truth, he didn't die a natural death. That I know. So, yeah.
You know, oh, he didn't. Okay.
No, he died in a plane crash in Alaska.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. You know what? We lost a number of these people to plane crashes.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah. So, okay. So that explains it. I didn't, when I was doing my research, that wasn't in there. So this is his quote. Okay. You ready for this? He says, "It's a good thing we don't get all the government we pay for." Although maybe we are getting all the government that we're paying for right now. I cannot believe what's going on out there. So, and our funnies for today, I found this from the Patriot Post. It says, "When your government lets you go out for groceries and hardware, but demands a mail-in vote, you can be certain that they're not really concerned about keeping you safe from the virus." Maybe not so funny, but there's a lot of truth in that.
I sent you, and we don't have time today, maybe we can go through it later in the week, a list of about 10, 12 things that says when your government does this, you can be sure it's not, they don't give a flip about your health. And there's some that will hit you right between the eyes. But anyway, we don't have time for that. By the way, Chris is here.
Okay, just very quickly then, we're at 6:10. I just very quickly wanted to tell you a story that happened last night. I have a neighbor that's been a neighbor for many, many years. She gave my kids their first job mowing her lawn. She's elderly now. And so about 11:30, I get a phone call, and she's concerned about something that's on her leg. And I realized that if she called me at that particular point in time, that she was very concerned. And I've been so frustrated because she's a person that thrives on getting out and being with people. And so I've been picking up, you know, every few days lunch, taking her a milkshake, you know, kind of putting it on the chair, and then she comes and gets it. I mean, I was just thinking about this, kind of like a zoo or something. I mean, I just hate what's going on out there. And she looked at me, and she's a few days ago, and she's like, "Kim, when is this going to end?" I'm like, "It will soon. It will soon." So last night I realized that we needed to go up to the emergency room, and everything was fine, but I had to drop her off. I couldn't go in with her. And then I said, "Here's my phone number. I'll go back and pick her up." And so I went home, slept for about an hour, and went back and picked her up. But somebody had reached out to me with a story that, and I think this is at one of the hospitals down in Colorado Springs, but this is happening everywhere across the country, that people, once they're admitted to the hospital, they're not allowing visitors and family in. So this woman is been failing at this particular hospital, and her husband is beside himself for concern that she is failing and that he wants to be there with her. And because of all this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, he cannot be with her. My friends, think how cruel this is right now, that people may be dying and their loved ones cannot be with them. And as we're walking through this and realizing that this may be, initially I think, you know, we wanted to try to get our brain around this, but now I'm seeing such a government power grab. There's something very concerning going on about that. We'll continue the conversation. We've got so many great guests today that I need to move on. But very excited. Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors is a valued partner. And he and his colleagues there have made the news. Chris Cantwell, congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. So very quickly, tell our listeners what you are being recognized for.
Okay, so we are one of the Denver Business Journal's 2020 Small Business Awards finalists, and the finals will be in August. But we were elected for the medium-sized business category, which is a business of 21 to 30 employees. So it's something we're all definitely proud of. It's been a lot of hard work. I'll just kind of give you a quick backstory. Transworld Business Advisors has been around for over 40 years now, and our Denver office opened in 2013. I joined in 2016, so this is my fifth year. When I joined the company, I think we just had five or six employees, and we were doing 10 or so deals a year. And last year, we did 80 transactions, which is exciting. We've got over 20 employees now, so we've seen a ton of growth. And really, a lot of it's attributed to letting business owners know that we're out there, that if there's not a family member or an employee that's going to take over their business, they can take their business to market, and we can do what we can to help find a buyer for their business so their legacy continues and their employees get to keep their job and the business goes on. And, there's really only 100, 125 or so business brokers in the state of Colorado. So it's just highly unknown that we're out there and what we do. So we've been spreading the word and doing a lot of branding, and we've done over $130 million in transactions out of our Colorado office in the last, I guess it's 7 or 8 years now. And that's over 250 transactions. We could end up somewhere between 80 and 100 transactions this year. Things have slowed down a bit, but we really do expect them to pick up in Q3 and Q4. So we're out here to help people who have a business and are been thinking about selling in maybe the next year and a half, 2 years, and now have questions regarding how does this impact a potential business sale. I can help with that. If you or someone you know has been laid off, and instead of going to work in the corporate world to go work for somebody else, control your own destiny. And there's going to be some great ways to get in to buy these businesses. It's cheaper to get in than you think with just a little down payment help or whatever it may be, some seller financing, the SBA is being aggressive. So if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, reach out as well. And I don't charge for any kind of consultation. I'm happy to consult with you or just offer some advice.
And Chris Cantwell, how can people reach you?
You can reach me at my phone number, which is easy to remember, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ. And, of course, all of my contact information is on the timmunson.com website.
You got it. And that's 844-SELL-BIZ. Chris Cantwell, congratulations. Good luck on this. But, it's a big deal to make it into that finalist category with the Denver Business Journal. So thanks so much. We'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Before we go to break, we're coming out of this crazy stuff, but it's still going to be a little difficult for our restaurants and our bars and our taverns, because with all this mandatory face covering stuff, it's difficult to go out and have a hamburger. So what we need to do is continue to support our local establishments. And as you know, Hooters Restaurants is a valued partner of mine. Wednesdays are wing day. You can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. So that's tomorrow. They've got all kinds of lunch specials. And kids eat free all day, every day with the purchase of an adult entree. And it's available on the to-go order. So go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. And you can order your food. They'll just bring it out to the curbside, and you can pick it up. And be sure, and let's be helping out our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's watching data. She's watching all kinds of things regarding the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And we have been doing, it's starting to become a weekly podcast at our Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and you won't want to miss it. Somebody reached out to me the other day, and she said, I just love these. And also, you can go to our website, and when you see the show recap there, click on that little picture there, and that brings you to the whole show recap with the podcast in there of the show. So we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. A lot of great information. Appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is a radiologist. She's been in the business for many, many years of helping to detect breast cancer early, which actually saves lives. And then she also read the complete Obamacare legislation before it was passed by Congress, one of the few people in America. So she understood just what was happening with that. So Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
And you and I have been doing a pretty fun thing, and that is it's becoming a weekly podcast at this particular point in time at Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And this last week we talked a lot about the WHO, and you were connecting the dots on that. But today, before we get into this, a question. Patty had been doing some research and found that there was a report that looked like that there was half the number of COVID deaths from what we've been hearing. So we sent that over to you, and I think a lot of people have seen this, and so they're like, this isn't matching up, what's going on? So explain what you think has happened.
There is so much redundancy in, the intelligence community, certainly between the National Institutes for Health, the CDC. I mean, there are so many different government bureaucratic agencies that have their fingers in some aspects of health, some of its research, some of its reporting. So those numbers came from an agency within the CDC, but they're not the numbers that they get, sounds like, from what I was sent. It sounds like it's just another agency that is not as up to date with the numbers. They're just trickling in, so they're going to have to, it'll be weeks before their numbers may coincide with the CDC. It's just a delay in reporting, it sounds like, from the way the CDC describes the numbers. They immediately give all this disclaimer. It's kind of like, well, why can't you guys talk to each other? Are states supposed to report to this and this and this agency? And I think maybe that's the case, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't get all wound up about it. In other words, I think it's just bureaucratic inefficiency, I would say.
Okay. And, you said a word there that I think that we as Americans need to start to think about. Now, you said there's redundancy in these different agencies. So the first question is why do we need all these different agencies? And then secondly, these bureaucrats and government employees have not lost their jobs, have not had a reduction in pay, and then we have redundancy. It seems to me like we should probably take a stop or a pause here and reassess just what's going on with all these different agencies and maybe get rid of some of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've been saying that for years, but the purpose of these bureaucracies, their number one goal is to make sure that they stay intact and their budget increases every year. That's what they care about. So the more people you have under you, the more programs you have under your particular agency's umbrella means that you get more money. That means you have more power. If you have more money, more people, if your bureaucracy is bigger than somebody else's, that means that you get more money and have more power. So that's their motivation.
Which
so
means
far, we don't have a president or somebody else who's really willing to approach this. And I think Trump has done a good job with decreasing regulations and that sort of thing. But honestly, you look at our federal government, and it's absolutely ridiculous in how much of our taxpayer money is just wasted. It goes there, goes to the Fed. They probably waste or spend on bureaucracy and waste probably at least 30 cents for every dollar, probably closer to 50 or 70 cents for every dollar before that dollar ever comes back to the person who needs it, before it ever gets down to actually doing what it's meant to do.
Well, and a couple of points on that, Jill. So if there is a problem, what we have, or an issue, challenge, or whatever, instead of people looking to themselves and their neighbors to figure it out, it's gotten to a point where it's like, well, somebody needs to do something, and government gladly steps in, bureaucrats gladly step in, politicians, to solve the problem. The problem is the problem will never get solved, because if the problem gets solved, then those politicians and bureaucrats no longer have that money train. And so that problem will continue on and on and on until we finally say stop. Now, with what's happened with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, we as a country have been, you know, really cruising along a beautiful economy, and people were kind of fat and happy. At this point in time, we're going to have to tighten our belts, and we're really going to have to take a look at these things. So with that, though, we were going to talk a little bit about cooking the books on these COVID-19 death numbers, because I'm starting to get some information coming and have been able to verify it, that there's been changes made to death certificates regarding putting on COVID-19 deaths, which in essence, in this case, almost double the amount of deaths from a particular facility. And then that moves over to these politicians and bureaucrats using those numbers to continue to kind of clamp down on us and say, you have to do this if you want to open your business. What's your thoughts on that, Dr. Jill?
Exactly. But the definition that they're using for COVID-19 deaths, they've changed how they want people to fill out death certificates, the CDC. So when this first started, they had guidelines for this is how you fill out a death certificate in light of this coronavirus. And then they changed those guidelines maybe a month later or a few weeks later to be much broader criteria under which a patient would be classified as a COVID death. So if a patient who dies has had any contact with a COVID patient, then that can be put on the death certificate. Reimbursement can be made for a COVID code, a diagnostic code, so that hospitals make more money. People who take care of COVID patients will get a higher reimbursement if they can use the diagnostic code and therefore charge code affiliated with COVID-19. So it's a follow the money in one instance, and the CDC wants to account for every possible connection to COVID. I kind of get that, but I'd love for them to break it down more. I want to know, okay, how many of these deaths are directly attributable to COVID-19, i.e. that COVID-19 caused that person to die? Not that they died with it, but they also had a heart attack or stroke or something that was probably completely unrelated to COVID. I want to know how many people are really dying from lung disease, organ failure, cytokine storm, all these other things that can be directly related, because COVID causes some really nasty stuff. It does really nasty stuff to the lungs, the immune system, and like this multi-organ failure is a bizarre kind of phenomenon. And the strokes could be related to COVID because it does mess with your inflammatory system and your coagulation system. So there are a lot of things that could be directly related to COVID. I want to know what those are. Then maybe say died with COVID, but had coexistent morbidity, you know, other mm-hmm. medical problems, and probably died from that. And then how many people died but just had some kind of ancillary peripheral connection to COVID, that they had some you know, contact with a person that had COVID? Because that's what's happening in a lot of the nursing homes that you're talking about. They're changing the death certificates, and what I suspect is that they're changing the death certificates because there were patients in that nursing home that had COVID-19, and therefore that patient's death could be attributed, according to their criteria at the CDC, to coronavirus. Now, why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. They do the same thing. We've talked about this. They do the same thing with the flu numbers. The flu numbers are combined with pneumonia for influenza deaths. So the number, the actual number of patients that die from the flu, honestly, I have never known a person that died from flu. Have you?
I've not
never
that
known
I know
a
of.
Person
yeah.
that died from flu.
Yeah.
So why is that? Why is that? So, but the numbers are between, primarily you hear between 30 and 60 or 70,000 a year. But that's because they combine it with the pneumonia numbers. And pneumonia, the vast majority of people who die with pneumonia do not die with pneumonia from the flu, from influenza. People who die, mm-hmm. the influenza deaths are probably only like 2,000 or 3,000 people a year. Not.
But there's
30,
other things,
60.
Yeah.
But the people who die from pneumonia, that's a big number. So you hear about people
okay.
who die from pneumonia, but it ain't related to the flu. But the CDC combines those numbers. In my opinion, they're inflating the flu numbers, and therefore they've already done this. I mean, they've been doing this for years, so it's not a big step for them to inflate the COVID numbers, and for the same reason, in my opinion, to
okay.
talk us into getting a vaccine, to convince us that this is a big crisis and that we have to take extreme measures and do all this stuff for something that may not be causing that many real honest deaths. Although what this virus does is so much worse than influenza. There's no comparison. This is so
yes,
much
I've heard,
worse than influenza for these patients.
But there is treatments out there. And Dr. Jill, we're out of time on this. So people need to be sure and check in out sounding off with Kim Munson. We will be continuing this conversation on Friday and some other great information. So Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. But on your point, follow the money and follow the narrative and what that affects that with. So Dr. Jill, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. And before we get to break, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. We are in May, and there is this saying, it says, sell in May and go away, regarding the stock market. What is your thoughts on that, Jason McBride?
Well, Kim, I think it's an interesting kind of long-term indicator. If we go all the way back to 1950 and we look at the Dow, if you'd have been invested in the Dow every year just between May and October, your average rate of return is about 0.6%, which is not really all that impressive. However, if you'd have been invested in the market from November through April, going all the way back to 1950, your average rate of return is about 7.5%. So, Kim, over all that time, May through October, your 10,000 turns into 11,000 over about 67, 68 years. And on the other side, if you had just invested through November through April, 10,000 invested turns into over $1 million.
Wow.
So it's interesting. It's not that you get your rear end kicked necessarily from May to October. It's just that the market seems far less productive during those months over a long period of time. So you kind of have your money at risk for maybe not a commensurate amount of return. The hard part is that if someone wanted to do this, you have to do it every year, year in and year out, without fail, for it to work. And that's hard for folks to stick to. But it is an interesting indicator.
Well, most definitely. And, you know, you find all kinds of great information. I mean, probably part of it's from that stock market, Stock Traders,
almanac
that you have. But
yeah,
it's great. Yeah, that's great stuff. So Jason McBride, would highly recommend that people reach out. Go to airpresidential.com. You've done a great piece regarding the CARES Act. There's some real opportunities for people to take a look at their retirement portfolios and kind of what they're doing. So I'd recommend people check out airpresidential.com. That's our landing page together.
Oh, well, I think that's a good idea, Kim. They can also give us a call at 303-694-1600. We've got a lot of very fine advisors. If you have questions during these crazy time about the market, the way you're invested, you just kind of want a second set of eyes to look at things, to kind of relook at your plan. Are you still on track? You know, our advisors can do all of those things. So feel free to give a call, 303-694-1600. No pressure, no obligation, just a friendly person that'll be happy to try and help you.
Most definitely. So have a great day, Jason. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Adam Andrzejewski regarding Open the Books. He's done a very important piece about China, the WHO, and U.S. funding of the WHO. So we will be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Adam Andrzejewski. He is the founder and CEO of Open the Books, which is an organization that I have watched for many years, and really doing important watchdog, follow the money kind of thing with our government. And he's done a very important piece recently regarding the WHO funding from the United States. And as many of you know, the WHO, the World Health Organization, there are those that are saying that it looks like that they were giving cover for China during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption at the very beginning. And so we wanted to invite Adam on to talk a bit about that. So Adam, welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Thank you very much for your interest in our work.
Well, you are doing really important work, because we were talking with Dr. Jill in this last segment, and one of the best ways to figure out what's going on is to follow the money. So tell us a little bit about Open the Books before we get into the conversation about the WHO and the United States funding of the WHO.
So here's our mission, and it's unique. Nobody's got this mission. Last year, we filed 41,000 Freedom of Information Act requests on nearly every single substantial public body in this entire country. We open the books and we audit them. Quite simply, we say every dime online in real time. So if government spends your tax dollar, our auditors are going to capture that expenditure and then post it on our website. So last year, we posted 23 million public employee salary and pension records. So virtually every single public employee at every level of government across America, that's local, state, and federal. We captured their record and we posted on our website, and you can look up your local units and see just how much they make and which position by name, and what they made last year and quite typically the last 3 years.
Well, and Adam, what we're seeing is that America has moved away from a representative form of government really more to an administrative state. And the one thing about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption is the veil is really off. We had something that happened out here in Colorado, whereas we have something called Tri-County Health, which is managed by a bureaucrat, now supposed to be answering to the county commissioners out here. But when COVID-19 came through, he basically put out an edict that shut down our businesses. And our commissioners, many of them said, well, we can't do anything about it. As one of my friends said, but I didn't vote for him, I voted for you. So this whole bureaucratic administrative state, you know, I think the veil is off and people are now really taking a look at the, you know, the information that you're putting together, Adam.
So that's very, very interesting, Kim, because in Illinois, where we're based, we're headquartered here in Illinois, and it is the Super Bowl of corruption. We've got a strong-armed governor as a chief executive that's overriding the county-by-county public health departments. So back in 2004, Illinois State Senator Barack Obama left Illinois a legacy. He passed a bill that put these decisions on pandemics and public disasters, emergency management, in control of the local county health departments. Well, the governor now in Illinois, Pritzker, he's overriding all of that, and he's making the decisions. And so Republicans in Illinois sued him to say, hey, you don't have the power. They won in the first round in court because the governor is not following the law here in Illinois. But in Colorado, it sounds like you have the law. And they're unelected, you know, it brings up a whole other can of worms. They're unelected bureaucrats making these decisions. So I'm, you know, we got to iron these issues out on a state-by-state, county-by-county basis across the country.
Most definitely. So on Open the Books, you've taken a look at these different salaries. So that's the next question is, we had a guest on the other day that said that there's been no state bureaucrats, state employees that have taken a pay cut nor lost their jobs so far during this disruption that we have going on. And so what's your thoughts about that, Adam Andrzejewski?
Well, I'm not aware. You're right. That begs the question. You know, is there two sets of rules, one for government and one for we the people in the private sector? And I'm not aware anybody has taken a been furloughed in government. Here's what we do know. We went live with oversight on our home state of Illinois last week. And my piece, I'm a senior contributor at Forbes, it got over 600,000 views. We found 110,000. Illinois public employees with a paycheck or a pension retirement check exceeded 100 grand last year. So, you know, Illinois is asking for a $40 billion bailout, thank you, to the national taxpayer. Forget about it. I mean, the public employees in Illinois and the retirees, there's 25,000 retirees in Illinois with a $100,000 six-figure annual paycheck in retirement.
Wow. So when Mitch McConnell said that perhaps some of the states needed to go ahead and declare bankruptcy, and I know a lot of people were concerned about that comment, but yet under federalism, each state needs to be responsible for their decisions. So I think what we'll do is let's finish this thought. We'll go to break and then come back and talk about what we're really going to talk about,
yeah.
Adam Andrzejewski. But what's your thoughts on Mitch McConnell's comment regarding let the states go ahead and declare bankruptcy? What's your thoughts?
Well, I loved it. I mean, he drew a line in the sand. Why should the taxpayers in Colorado bail out Illinois or California or Connecticut or New York? He seemed on Twitter to back off that position late last week. So we hope that he's firm, you know, and he needs to hear from we the people. Everybody in the United States Senate and in the House need to hear from us on this issue. Don't bail out the bankrupt blue states.
For sure. And it would be like if your neighbor went out and spent all kinds of money on something, you know, and you're over here trying to be fiscally responsible, and then all of a sudden they go to government and they say, hey, I want to have your fiscally responsible, you know, pay for your neighbor, right?
Yeah, and I want to put some color to that. So Illinois already crossed the Rubicon. Think about this, Kim. Moody's says, well, one notch above junk status, we've got $250 billion worth of unfunded pension liabilities. We've got other problems. This is just one problem. Now, Illinois only has 13 million residents in the state. Every man, woman, and child, that means, owes $19,000 for just our unfunded pension liabilities. That means a family of four owes $76,000. Here's the problem. The average household income in the state is only $64,000. We owe more on pension liabilities that are unfunded than what we make in a year. It's gone. Illinois is not coming back. Don't bail us out. Let us solve our own problems.
Okay, I totally agree with that. Be responsible for our decisions. So, Adam Andrzejewski, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we want to talk about this piece that was in Forbes where you said $3.5 billion has flowed from the United States taxpayers to the World Health Organization since 2010. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663. 6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is Adam Andrzejewski. He is the founder and CEO of Open the Books, which is really a terrific watchdog. If you want to know what's going on, all you have to do is follow the money. And he really does follow the money on all these different government agencies. And he has a very important piece that was just recently in Forbes. He says $3.5 billion has flowed from the U.S. taxpayers to the World Health Organization since 2010. And just recently, President Trump said that we're going to take a pause on the funding of the WHO because of possible not giving us the truth regarding China and the Wuhan virus. So, Adam Andrzejewski, tell us what you have found out.
So we found that since 2010, $3.5 billion flowed from the United States taxpayer to the World Health Organization. So we've been very, very generous with this organization. We found that during the first 3 years of the Trump administration, that $1.4 billion went to the WHO versus a similar period in Obama's second term, his first 3 years, $1.1 billion flowed to the WHO. So President Trump has every right, if he's dissatisfied with the WHO, to call a halt for the payments. He's been 30% more generous with that organization than even Barack Obama.
Well, and I think people are very concerned about, I don't know if cover up is the right word, but that the WHO has not been really forthcoming in holding exactly. China responsible on this virus. So what's your thoughts on that, Adam?
They helped deceive the world, and they delayed the mobilization. I mean, think about this. The WHO did not declare COVID-19 a pandemic until March 11th. My daughter's grade schools in the Chicago suburbs were canceled in person for the year by March 11th. So they delayed. They deceived the world. They criticized the president on January 31st when he stopped travel from China. They criticized the president when he stopped travel from Europe. And they knew of person-to-person spread early in January, and they didn't warn the world of that fact till late January.
Well, and why do you think that Trump acted so quickly on this? And he took a lot of heat at that particular point in time. They called him all the names that they do with, you know, some kind of phobic. His instincts, or why do you think that he did that so quickly?
Well, he's a decision maker. He gathers the relevant facts and he makes the decisions. And he made the right decisions very early, and you're right, he took heat from it. But as our research showed, he's got every right to do it. This organization was deceiving the world and delaying the mobilization. So we took a look at this $3.5 billion, which is quite a chunk of money. Kim, we put that in perspective. On a typical year, $3.5 billion that we pay the World Health Organization would exceed the annual payment to 14 states, to 14 state governments by the feds. So it's a large chunk of dollars. We found that of the $3.5 billion, $600 million was our required dues payments, and $2.9 billion was our voluntary payments. So we're the number one funder of the WHO, and the American taxpayer has been very, very generous, above and beyond our dues payments, with billions of dollars of volunteer payments.
So, and it seems that China has not had to pay nearly as much as what we put in there, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah, they pay a lot less. And look, we don't have to put in all that money. And I think that's what the president has taken 60 days here to take a look at what we can repurpose. So Congress makes the appropriations. And there's two paths that, and we've been in consultation with policymakers and high levels. So there's really two paths they're taking a look at. One, they could go back to Congress with a rescissions package. But Congress has shown no ability to rein in waste, fraud, corruption, and abuse. So the second path, I think, is much more likely that the president, when Congress is out of session, they're out of session a lot. They're not even there most oftentimes. He can actually just let them know that he's repurposing the money. So Congress has appropriated the dollars. The president and the executive agency has to spend the money, but they can repurpose those dollars away from the WHO. Oftentimes, the World Health Organization is just a contractor for our federal money, and we can go out and get a new contractor to accomplish the same purposes.
So how would he do that then, Adam? Where could that money go?
So it can go to through the Agency for International Development. We have a lot of vendors and contractors that we use to carry out our purposes around the world. The World Health Organization is only one of them. So into those existing relationships, the dollars can flow. And look, there's a lot of problems with the WHO. I mean, it's a massive problem, Kim, when the Associated Press comes out with a report a couple of years ago that the WHO spent $200 million a year on travel, and that amount exceeded the amount that they spent on polio, AIDS, and other gainful and noble enterprises. So this is an organization that's been fat and happy for a long time.
Well, and when somebody's been fat and happy, and then you start to think about taking the money away, then all of a sudden you see all these headlines that, oh my gosh, you know, people will die. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but you know, that it's really going to affect the vulnerable in a very negative way. But yet, when you just describe that $200,000 or $200 million on travel, is that what you said, $200 million? Did I write that down correctly?
$200 million a year on travel. It's disgusting. It's immoral.
So that's probably pretty nice.
These are the dollars that are supposed to help people who have real needs around the world. You know, our Inspector General in 2018 over the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, they did a report and they found $240 million that were spent improperly. They disciplined nearly 50 agencies and entities around the world, and 55 government contractors were disbarred from working on overseas aid. I mean, the premise of the report that they come out with, our inspector general, was basically that it's a free-for-all on international aid, and the dollars are not going to people who have real needs. The Trump administration is right. This is a moral and just cause to make sure that our taxpayer money is flowing to organizations and people that actually are accomplishing the objectives that we're spending the money for.
And what would you say the objectives are, Adam?
So on the voluntary payments, look, you know, these are noble and good causes. The eradication of polio, AIDS, Ebola, and there's, you know, about $40 million for biomedical research. So these are good causes.
Okay, I apologize. I had a little glitch here on technology. So, Adam, what was your last comment?
So, you know, these are noble and good causes. Over the course of the last 10 years, we put about $500 million into the fight to eradicate polio. We put $135 million in the fight against AIDS, about $75 million in the fight against Ebola. These have been very, very successful causes. It's, you know, these are of a noble and good purpose.
And so moving forward then, what do you think President Trump should do with the WHO and this whole China issue?
So he needs to, you know, there has to be accountability. So you can't make America great again unless you make these agencies, entities, and other world governments accountable again. And I think that's what the president is, you know, that's the vision that he has. And look, he was the only one. He doesn't get enough credit for taking on China. It was almost too late to take on China. The president's done it, and his fight against China has been very effective to this point.
Do you think that that has any relationship with the Wuhan virus situation that we have now, his tough stance with China, and then what has happened with that? Is there any relationship?
Well, I don't know. You have breaking news reports that say the virus was started at that lab now, and this is very troubling. And here's what's even more troubling. There's going to be copycats. There's going to be governments that try to destabilize the world, you know, that with viruses that are the next black swan weapons. And so we've entered into a new age.
Okay, Adam, we have just a couple of minutes left. So what are the final thoughts that you would like our listeners to take away this morning? And the work that you're doing with Open the Books, how can people find that? So what's your final thought, Adam?
So you can come to openthebooks.com, and we are in real time covering the corruption and waste and taxpayer abuse in the coronavirus bailout bills. Just this morning, we're up with a very instructive piece on the $12.5 billion in the Phase 3 CARES Act. That was the coronavirus bailout. A portion of that went to our colleges and universities, $12.5 billion. Jim, just into the top 25 most wealthy colleges and universities in the country, they've got a collective endowment of $350 billion. We show that there's $800 million of our money allocated to bail out those schools for coronavirus. A lot of this money is not related to coronavirus. These are giveaways. This is waste. It's taxpayer abuse. And we're going to hold our feet to the fire.
That is excellent work that you're doing. And again, that's openthebooks.com, correct? Openthebooks.com?
Yes. Yeah, and, okay. And we map all.
And just one other question.
So
how many people?
Colorado,
oh, go ahead.
If you want to see in Colorado what colleges and universities have been allocated, how much money, we mapped it all. So you can click on the pin for Colorado, and you can see all the colleges, universities, even the schools of cosmetology, art schools, everybody, schools of the wooden boat builder. I kid you not, bartending schools. They're all getting money out of this bill.
Wow. Well, Adam Andrzejewski, we're out of time. You are the CEO and founder of Open the Books. And we always end with a quote today. And today's quote is from Will Rogers. He says, "I don't make jokes. I just watch the government and report the facts." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a